Hey, it's great to see you this morning. Everybody comfortable? Got enough elbow room? If you don't, I don't know how to fix that. Just do the best you can with that. Hey, listen, it's great to see you on a wonderful resurrection morning when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, this morning I decided that, you know, I'm going to just take the approach that the Scripture has and not try to give proofs or defenses of the resurrection, but to state to you clearly what the Scripture says is that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and that He ever lives. Now listen, I know a lot of people have questions sometime about this, about whether that's literally true or whether we're just talking about a figurative thing. I want you to know that the Scripture affirms it is literally true that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and on the third day was raised again, and He's in heaven today, ever living and reigning and ruling, and He's coming to earth again. Now, if that is an intellectual problem or issue and you'd like to have some more information about whether or not there are legitimate reasons to embrace the resurrection as true, I would love to talk to you about that. I'm available at any time to talk with you. There is a multitude, I mean, there are volumes, there's a whole library of information that will help you walk through the reality of the resurrection. Not just that there were over 500 eyewitnesses, but even as we'll see in this passage we're going to read here in just a moment, folks handled, touched Him. They were with Him. He is a resurrected Lord Jesus. And as 1 Corinthians would remind us, if that is not true, here's the indictment of Scripture on us if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead. We are foolish to be here today. We are foolish to sing about our sins being forgiven and us having an eternal hope and an eternal home. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. We ought to be home either weeping over those things, or we ought to just be going like many people in the world today, just going about our own thing, just doing it. Live all the gusto you can out of this life because this is all there is. But that is not the affirmation of Scripture. Hey, so what I'm saying is the resurrection is real. In fact, there are several resurrections in the Scripture. Back in the Old Testament, there was a guy named Elijah. Remember Elijah, one of the great prophets? Elijah was staying at a place, and this lady had a son who died. And she said, "You're supposed to be the man of God. How could my son die and you here taking care of matters? How could that happen?" And you know what happens? Elijah prays and God raises that boy up from the dead. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's Old Testament. But there's plenty of those cases in the New Testament as well. Now think about all the resurrections that happen even in the New Testament. These are not some obscure thing that happened in a way out place. These are things that people saw. Resurrections like when Jesus is walking the face of the earth in Matthew chapter 9, and word comes to Him that a little girl is very, very ill. And then the word comes that the child has died. And Jesus makes a trip and gets to where the family is, where the child is, and He says, "She's not dead, she's just asleep." And they laughed at Him. Because, listen, they knew that the child was dead. But Jesus walks in there, and guess who is raised from the dead? The little girl is raised up. Jesus had a dear friend. His name was Lazarus. You remember this story, right? Now, he hadn't just recently died. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days, and Jesus comes into town. And they said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." And Jesus goes to the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forward." And up from the dead, a guy who'd been in the grave for 4 days. In fact, so much so, they were afraid that there would be, I don't know if I'd say this in polite company or not, they were afraid there'd be a stench because he'd been in the grave that long. Lazarus comes forth and walks out of there. Hey, and one of my favorite resurrections in the New Testament is a guy named Eutychus. Now, don't go naming your babies or your grandbabies Eutychus. I mean, can you imagine that? But here's Paul preaching, and he went on and on like you think I do all the time. He went on and on. He went on for hours. And Eutychus is in a room. And you know the heat, body heat, and the heat from the lamps, and just the lateness of the hour. And he's sitting in the window, and he falls out of the window and dies. Stay awake this morning. He died. Paul goes down and he is raised up again. But now in Matthew 28, I want you to open your Bible, if you will, or you can follow it on the screen here. I say your Bible, if you got your iPad or your phone, or any of that kind of stuff is fine too. I want you to look at this text about another resurrection, the one that we're celebrating today. And I want you to see what's here, and then I want to talk about it for just a few minutes. Matthew chapter 28, in verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now, they didn't really die, but they were like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified." The purpose of crucifixion was to do what? Yeah, it's to execute somebody. So they died. You're looking for the one who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. No surprise to them, shouldn't have been, because he'd been telling them what was going to happen. Come, if you need verification, come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. There's the affirmation. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So he gave them some instructions. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, now watch this. Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. There's a couple of important points there. One, this was not a ghost. This was not a vision. They held his feet. That is a resurrected body. And then what does it say they did? They worshiped him. By the way, who is deserving of worship and worship alone? Only God is deserving of worship, not a man. There's something going on here. This one has been raised from the dead. They saw him, conversed with him, they touched him. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." And the affirmation of Scripture is that many saw him. All right, so you say, well, that's just another resurrection that's in the Bible. You know, there's a little boy in the Old Testament, a little girl in the New Testament, a grown man, Lazarus. And then this young man, Eutychus, all those were resurrected. And here we got Jesus being resurrected. What's the big deal? Why is this one different? Exactly what I want to talk to you about today. Why was this resurrection different than the others? Several things I want you to see. The first one is simply this. This one is different because of whose resurrection it was. Who is it that's being resurrected here? Well, in John chapter 1, we find these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was to be in the beginning with God. He was God. All things came into being by Him, and without Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And that Word, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father.
Who is this that's being raised from the dead? We're talking about the eternal Word. We're talking about the Creator. We're talking about God, the perfect one, the sinless one, the God incarnate, the God who came in the flesh and lived among us, the one that the Father sent to us. Listen, that's not true of any of those other resurrections. In fact, that's not true of anybody else who's ever lived on the earth. It's true only of Jesus Christ. This resurrection is different because of whose it is. But secondly, this one's different because of what preceded it. You know, this wasn't from a sickness. This wasn't from an accident or some kind of illness that came upon somebody like some of the other things, other resurrections. No, what preceded this resurrection was the cross. Now think about the cross with me for just a moment. My goodness. The cross is where this person, Jesus Christ, suffered and died and went through the agony of the death that he went through. He went through the shame of that. In fact, the scripture says, "Cursed is he who hangs on a tree." And here is the eternal one, the perfect one, hanging on a tree in shame, and this is how he died. The cross is what preceded Jesus' death. Now, why did he have to go to the cross? Because he'd been a bad boy? Because he was a criminal like the others who were crucified with him? No, he went there for us. He went there for you and me. He went to the cross not because of his doing, but because of our doing. Thirdly, this resurrection is different because of what this resurrection secured. What the cross secured was our salvation. Now, we had a great week this week, and I know many of you can't get here for our Holy Week services, but those of you who were here, we talked about why the cross is the ground of several things. One, like the substitutionary atonement. How that one could die in our place. The cross is the ground for one having died in our place. Also, how can we be reconciled with God? We see that reconciliation happens at the cross of Christ, where the punishment and the thing that brings us together to God has been taken away. Our sin has been dealt with. At the cross is where we have forgiveness of sin. Had there been no cross of Jesus, there would be no forgiveness of sin. There'd be no basis. There would be no justice satisfied that God could apply to you and me. You see, it was because of the cross that we have redemption. And that redemption cost a great price. It cost the blood. It cost the life of Jesus to redeem us, to buy us back from the power of sin and death over us. And the cross, finally, is the ground for our adoption as sons and daughters of God. You see, there is no relationship and family of God apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross secured those things for us. This resurrection is different than all the other resurrections that we've talked about or that we see in the Scripture. The payment was made on the cross. The acceptance of the payment of Jesus is announced at the resurrection. There's God's stamp of approval on what was accomplished at the cross, the resurrection. Don't miss the empty tomb. Now listen, we make much of the cross of Jesus, and we should. Oh, but that empty tomb. The empty tomb is a sign that God delivered and accepted. That is the payment for our sins. You know, really, I guess what we ought to be hanging around our neck is not a cross, but an empty tomb. Because there's where it's secured. This resurrection secured those things, our very salvation. But I tell you what's different about this resurrection than the others as well. Now listen, those other people that died, even Lazarus, those people that died didn't have, their death and resurrection had no impact on you and me. Absolutely none. But Jesus is different. His resurrection meant. This is the fourth one if you're keeping notes. I hope you write down things sometimes because I like you to go home and think about it. His was different because of what this resurrection meant. It meant that the grave, death, that enemy that yet awaits you and me, has been conquered. There's victory over the grave and over sin itself. It has been defeated. How is that verified? Because this one who was sinless and took upon himself the sin of me and you was raised from the dead, and he ever lives. Life triumphs over death. And I tell you what, you take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I tell you what triumphs. Death triumphs over life. Now you think about how empty it is to live apart from Jesus Christ, where the only thing you've got looking ahead of you that is inevitable and you can't avoid it. I don't care what kind of new energy drink you're drinking or what kind of new pills you come up with. Death is in your future. And death has the final say. Oh, but not over Jesus. And Jesus' resurrection says to you and me that death is not the final word. Death is not the one that conquers. Life conquers death. Now, even in death, there is hope. Are you still with me? You still listening? Because, hey, listen, there's other things about this resurrection that are different. The fifth one is this. This resurrection was not unto death again, but unto life. Now think about it. As cool as it had been to have been that little boy that Elijah raised from the dead, that boy died again. How wonderful it would have been to have been that little girl and to hear the story of how Jesus came and raised her up again. She told that story until the day she died, just like Lazarus did. Lazarus came out of the grave. What a glory. Man, there were people there. They were blown away. This guy was dead and in the grave 4 days, and he comes out, and he lived for some period of time. And he told about that story. Listen, when I came out of the grave, I was still bound in the clothes. That's why Jesus said, untie him. Let him go. But then Lazarus died. And Eutychus, can you imagine the stories that boy got to tell? Yeah, there I was, and I did this swan dive out of this window. And you know, the next thing I knew, I was awake. And I was saying, preach on, Paul, preach on. Until the day he died. But Jesus ever lives. He's alive today. These others are in the grave, but not Jesus. Jesus is seated on high because many of these who saw him, who handled him after his resurrection, were there and they saw him ascend back into heaven. And the angel said, he's coming back the same way. He ascended into heaven, and there he is at the right hand of the Father, having fulfilled everything required for a man or woman, a boy or girl to be saved. And now what we await is that glorious day when he comes back. You see, his resurrection wasn't unto death again. He didn't die again, but he ever lives. And the last thing I want you to see, and Jim, you referenced it in your prayer this morning. I'm so glad for that. Because the resurrection, the reason Jesus' resurrection is different is because it has something it foreshadows for you and me. Eutychus, I mean, that he got up is fine. I'm happy for Eutychus. But it didn't have any impact at all on me or on you. But Jesus' resurrection does. Because it foreshadows what the New Testament tells us at his return. When Jesus comes again, those who are in the grave from the little boy in Elijah's day to Eutychus in Acts, and your loved ones who have been placed in the ground, when Jesus comes on that day, those bodies, even as Jesus was, first fruits, are going to be raised from the dead. And the 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that those bodies aren't fit for eternity. They're going to have to be changed. These bodies you and I live in, they're dying. They're going to die. We got to have an immortal body. And how are we going to get that? Well, the scripture says that it happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. These bodies are going to put on immortality. These mortal are going to put on immortality so that we'll be fit to live in heaven even as Jesus does. Why do I hold on to that hope? Because Jesus was resurrected. He's in heaven where he ever lives, and he's got a body. And you and I will have a body. It foreshadows that because he was resurrected, you and I will be resurrected as well. It tells us that those who have gone on are going to have yet a blessed hope that's going to be fulfilled in one of these days. And listen, the Bible says that if you and I are still alive when he comes, wouldn't that be fun? I don't know when he's coming. It could be today. But when he comes, we're going to watch those who have died in Christ be resurrected, and then we're still alive in these bodies, and they're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's a resurrection in our future too. Praise God for the work of Christ. We'll be given an eternal body, even as he has one. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. And we will be with Jesus, hear me, if we come to him by faith. Now, I began and told you that some people struggle with this whole concept, this whole idea that someone could literally be resurrected from the dead. And I've already tried to show you there are plenty of examples of that in the Scripture. But there's still the element of faith, of where I put my faith and my trust in this recorded word. I put my faith and trust in the witnesses, the eyewitnesses who saw him and who handled him. There's an element of where I must put my faith and my trust in what Jesus did, that he accomplished all the things that the Scripture says that he accomplished. That when God raised him from the dead, that affirmed that all those promises are true, they are yes, they're amen in Jesus, and I put my faith and trust in him. And listen, you're called to do that as well. And unless one does, and unless one commits his heart and his life by faith unto Jesus Christ, leans solely upon the work of Jesus Christ for his salvation, he will not be saved. In fact, the Scripture makes it very clear that we are to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. You know, and that's an important word, the word Lord there. It means that he is God. That he is this one who came and took away our sin. It is an acknowledgement, verbally even, that he is Lord. Now listen to this next part. The other thing we're required to put our faith and trust in is that God raised him from the dead. You see, you cannot separate salvation from embracing the resurrection either. Now listen, everybody's got their own way, they sing. There are other religions in the world, and they surely don't espouse these things. But Christianity, the words of Jesus himself, this one who was raised up, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way unto the Father except through him. We must put our faith and our trust in him. Really, the Scripture, this sermon that you've listened to this morning and other sermons that have been preached in days gone by, and the desire of many people for you today is found in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. I want you to look at them. I want you to see them. John 20, verse 30 says, Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Now watch the verse. But these signs that Jesus did, whether it was healing the sick, whether it was still in the storm, his power over the created order, his power over the demonic, and his resurrection, these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, He's the Savior, and that by believing, putting your faith and trust in Him, you might have, what's the word? You might have life. You might have life in His name. It's talking about eternal life. It begins when a person comes to faith in Christ, but this is what He came for, to give us eternal life, and it begins even now. I guess I need to just ask you just a personal question of your own heart, for you to answer in your own heart. Will you believe now? Will you embrace this Jesus, the one who died for our sins, the one who is resurrected? Will you believe in Him and have eternal life in His name? Will you confess that He is Lord? Will you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? The Scripture says, those that do will be saved. Now, perhaps many of you in this room are already believers in Jesus Christ. That's where your hope lies, in what He did on the cross and verified in that resurrection, and you're looking forward to spending eternity with Him. The message for us today is to do exactly what the angel told these women to do. We're supposed to obey His word, and we're supposed to go and tell. We're supposed to be telling others about this. But why? Because this is the way of salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ in faith, you've never embraced the work of Jesus on your behalf, you have never received the gift of eternal life because you embraced the resurrection of Jesus, I urge you today, I plead with you today to trust in Jesus. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, apply to our hearts the glorious truth of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.